Legislation approved Wednesday by the Michigan State Senate is being called worse than the anti-union legislation coming out of Wisconsin. The Michigan bill, referred to as the Emergency Managers Law, greatly expands the powers of emergency financial managers. The law would allow the state to strip a city government or school board of its power if the governor declares a financial emergency in the targeted municipality. A state-appointed emergency financial manager would then be given broad powers in pursuance of a balanced budget to terminate union contracts, seize and sell assets, and fire elected officials. Labor unions are calling it a union-busting bill. Many are voicing concern that it renders the right to vote and the democratic process null and void, with no public input on who is appointed manager or how the manager will operate once in place. Later, we'll speak with Michigan State AFL-CIO President Mark Gaffney about it, but now we're joined live on the phone by Gretchen Whitmer. She's a state senator from East Lansing in Michigan. In fact, she's the Senate Minority Leader. Welcome to Uprising, Ms. Whitmer.
Thank you, Sonali. Good to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, Amy Goodman interviewed Naomi Klein yesterday, and Naomi Klein called this bill a corporate coup d'etat. Is that something, is that accurate?
Well, I think so. You know, we have avoided a showdown on the front lawn like they've had in Wisconsin. But what we see here is where Governor Walker went through the front door. Governor Snyder in Michigan is sneaking in the back, and it's all about undoing bargaining rights and hurting working families.
Now, what exactly would constitute an emergency financial emergency, and are there cities in Michigan currently where there are unaccountable or rather appointed financial managers already operating?
There are. They currently do operate in a few cities and in Detroit Public Schools, for instance. And that emergency financial manager is someone who is just handpicked by the treasurer, has enormous authority to go in and undo contracts, sell off assets, and he's making almost $400,000 a year, and there's no accountability or transparency. So this is an enormous amount of power that these people are given, and with the budget that Governor Snyder has introduced in Michigan, there are over 100 communities and 160 school districts that will likely be in line for emergency financial management as a result of those cuts. And so not only have they forced the crisis, they've changed the rules of how we're supposed to operate to get our way out of it.
Hmm. Now, who declares or who decides by what measure a municipality is in financial crisis?
Well, it's, you know, it varies. There, like, for instance, in the school, in the Detroit Public Schools, they had a history of not meeting certain criteria that are placed specifically for the school district. So it's a little bit fluctuates a little bit depending on what kind of governmental authority it is. But not failing to make your budget, continuing to default on payments. Those are instances where, you know, these municipalities or schools would fall into emergency financial management.
Now, I understand that several amendments were proposed, one of them to cap emergency managers' salaries. That one failed, even though this is apparently about balancing budgets and saving money. But apparently you can't pay an appointed financial emergency manager too much. There was also a particular amendment that would have allowed for public meetings for managers, having some kind of public input, and also having school board managers with education experience as a requirement. These are all common sense amendments. How did they fail?
Well, they all went down on party line votes, and it was kind of the one of the comments that I made was we've just exploded bureaucracy and giving, enormous amounts of money to someone who's unaccountable and there's no transparency. So I said, where the heck is the Tea Party now? Isn't this the antithesis of what the voters said they wanted with this last election? And here we see this huge government expansion, and it's going to cost the taxpayers so much money without any guarantees that it's going to help a district or help a city. And we couldn't even get them to say, okay, we should make sure that they are subject to conflict of interest rules that apply to everybody else. We couldn't even get that amendment on. It was a party line fight.
It seems as though the Tea Party is only interested when ordinary people, public employees, unions are the ones who are in, you know, who are doing the work, who are getting paid to do the work, who have decent benefits. But if it's somebody with a profit interest, somebody with, you know, either a corporate entity or an individual with a profit interest, that doesn't fall into the category of an unaccountable bureaucracy.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that statement, and what we're seeing in these debates from the Republican governor's office to the my Republican colleagues who are in the majorities in both chambers in Michigan is that they do talk a lot about cutting state employees. You know, they're happy to debate the human services worker who's balancing, 7,000 cases of kids in our state to debate their $45,000 a year salary, but yet go ahead and give $500,000 to an emergency manager who's completely unaccountable and doesn't have any standards that they have to meet.
Finally, Senator Whitmer, do you feel that the Republicans, you know, from Wisconsin to Michigan to Ohio and to many other states where we're seeing these bills that seem to have one thing in common, which is break the unions, are they going to face serious political payback?
I think so. I think when people see that what appears to be a new mindset is actually just the same old playbook, that it will have a backlash on them. A lot of these people got elected saying they supported smaller government, and what they're doing is they're creating a larger government, and they're using taxpayers to pad the bottom line of corporations. And I think when people really understand it and see what it's doing to their schools and to their communities, that they will be enraged.
Well, Senator Gretchen Whitmer, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Gretchen Whitmer is a state senator from East Lansing, Michigan. She's a Senate minority leader there, and Michigan is the state that whose Senate just passed this emergency manager's law. We turn now to Michigan State AFL-CIO President Mark Gaffney, who I spoke with earlier this morning. Welcome to Uprising, Mark Gaffney.
Thank you.
So this particular legislation seems to be hinged on, the emergency law legislation seems to be hinged on the Republicans' desire to break unions. Can it be boiled down to that?
Well, the emergency financial manager legislation has a lot of components. One of the components is to throw out the collective bargaining agreement and impose terms that the workers would work under. It also allows complete privatization of current workers' work. Those decisions would be made by one person, only one person, not subject to city council or the school board review, and that one person is appointed by our state treasurer. And so it's just far too much power, and that power includes ending collective bargaining rights.
Now, the governor had said that there are too many municipalities loaded with debt that are paying out salaries or benefits that are out of sync with the private sector, and yet an amendment that would have capped the salary of this appointed emergency manager at $159,000 failed. How did that happen?
Well, it failed because the Republicans do not want anything to tie their hands. The House Republicans, when they wrote their version of the bill, would have allowed this financial manager to be a firm, a law firm. And so you can imagine how expensive that would have been. But look, at the same time the Republicans are saying we need extraordinary, really dictatorial powers for emergency managers, they are backing the governor's budget, which takes away one-third of what we call state revenue sharing, millions of dollars from cities, and reduces K-12 education funding by over $400 each student. So when the governor says we have cities and school districts in financial difficulties, he is adding to the problem. with his budget. We could end up with 100 to 200 municipalities and school districts under these extraordinary dictators, financial managers, and if you just average each of those with 500 employees, 50,000 Michigan union members will be at risk of losing their collective bargaining rights and their contract.
So it sounds
and their jobs.
So it sounds as though Republican state senators and their governor and the governor are helping to create a crisis that they can then use to break unions.
Well, this is, of course, the pattern. And the folks in the know on the left of the political spectrum have been talking about this for a little while. We really hope that all citizens, all voters begin to understand what is happening here. I might refer you to a book called Shock Capitalism. The author is Naomi Klein.
The Shock Doctrine.
Yes, Shock Doctrine. Thank you. And she lays out quite clearly what this is. You take advantage of a crisis, either in a city or, in fact, in her book, she talks about entire countries. And then you put on rules that make the crisis worse. For countries, this is done by the International Monetary Fund. For Michigan cities, this is done, as we're speaking, by the governor and the legislature. And then you design really draconian solutions or methods to solve the problem that you in part caused. And those solutions, guess what? Not by coincidence, lead to privatization, more money for businesses. It's paid for by the workers and the average people. It carries on the transfer of wealth in this country, and again in Ms. Klein's book, examples of other countries, where the middle class has been decimated and the wealthy class and the corporations get the benefit of solving these crises. And by the way, I think that's what's going on across this country, not only in Michigan.
Do you think that what's happening in Michigan, this particular bill that has passed the state Senate now and looks likely to pass, is actually worse than the bill that was passed, the anti-union bill that was passed in Wisconsin that garnered so much national attention?
Well, it's not worse. Here's what we say in Michigan. We have Wisconsin on the installment plan. Wisconsin took collective bargaining rights away from three or four times the number of workers that these financial manager bills can potentially do. Wisconsin did it all at once. It would take us two or three years to reach that possible number of about 50,000. So Wisconsin clearly is the worst location in our country for public sector workers, for Republicans with extreme measures. But in state after state, unfortunately, including my state, we're seeing parts of Wisconsin, we're seeing pieces of Wisconsin, we're seeing plays out of the same playbook.
Now, what about the level of organizing and protest in Michigan? Has it been effective? Are people, you know, was this bill rammed through so fast that people haven't had a chance to organize?
Well, no, not really. We will have our third rally at the Capitol on Wednesday coming up, Wednesday of next week. Each time we've done this, the crowd grows. We have committees back in the districts of 44 Republican House and Senate members, and we're trying to get these people to understand that their constituents, union and non-union, don't want them to act like Tea Party extremists. Michigan has a history of politics that's largely in the center. When there have been Republican governors, they have governed from the center right. When there has been Democratic governors in Michigan, they've governed from the center left. This is the first time our politics have become quite this extreme. And of course, it's part of what you're seeing all across the country. So our members, and by the way, regular citizens, AARP, Association of Retired People, will have a rally themselves on Tuesday, and ours is on Wednesday. So Michigan citizens are waking up to this. I think they're just surprised, frankly.
Now, what about President Obama, who was elected as an ally of unions? Many unions across the country and union members worked very hard during his campaign to elect him. And, you know, it seems as though over the past couple of years, he hasn't turned out to be as much of an ally as labor, organized labor would hope. He has been not very vocal at all on these attacks that we're seeing in various states. Whether he has the power to do anything about it or not, he certainly has the ability to verbalize, which he doesn't seem to be using.
Well, we call it the bully pulpit, don't we? And
yeah.
My advice, if President Obama were to ask it, would be to read Naomi Klein's book, Shock Doctrine, and call his economic advisors in and say, show me the proofs that this transfer of wealth from the middle class to the wealthy, from unions to corporations, show me the proof that this is happening. And by golly, there would be proof after proof, statistics after statistics, that show it. The Wall Street Journal itself said that in the years 09 and 2010, years of recession, business profits increased 30%, while wages increased 2%. Now, that's a continuation of a transfer of wealth, even in bad times. So the president, I think, understands that. He probably needs to spend more time thinking about it and thinking about what his response would be. Because, by the way, if the Republicans get away with this in a dozen states, if they complete their, what I call, their lurch to the right, and if these policies of decimating collective bargaining, taking the power, including power to speak at election time, power to engage in politics, taking that power away from public sector unions, the president's country is going to end up in a place where I'm convinced he would not want it to be. So is it time for him to take a hard look at this? Absolutely yes. Would we welcome any comments and statements about what's going on from him? Absolutely yes.
Well, Mark Gaffney, I wish you the best of luck. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for reaching out across the entire country to hear from Michigan.
Mark Gaffney is the Michigan State AFL-CIO president. We also heard from Gretchen Whitmer, state senator from East Lansing, Michigan, and the Senate minority leader. We've been talking about the Michigan Emergency Finance Law Bill, which just passed the state Senate, expected to be signed into law after the House and after the Assembly and the Senate bills are reconciled.